like it. I didn't even realize you were doing it until the bubble started. Welcome back to another episode of Cool to Be Conscious podcast. My name is Rue, and today we have back the beautiful human Toddy Jarrett, who we dropped in with a few episodes back. But yeah, today we're just going to open it up just for a free-flowing chat. We do have a few topics in mind that we'll swing into and just riff off, but yeah, overall it's going to be pretty open. But the topics that have popped up is this masculine and feminine energy, the light, the dark, the in-betweens, and just understanding it all, because I know these terms, these words get thrown around a lot, especially in the space that we're in, and I feel a lot of misunderstanding of what they mean, and then learning, oh, okay, so what are healthy versions of this and unhealthy versions of this? And you're like an encyclopedia, brother, and I have so many questions that I ask you all day, every day. And yeah, I would love for everyone listening to just experience some of this knowledge you have.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll dive in, and I guess what we'll do is we'll maybe give some context to the words, the labels, and the meanings, because really that's all they are. They're just words that we give meaning to a thing or an energy. And that's where, you know, there's when we really go to like the higher level of truth and everything just being energy, it's just our perception of something. But as we've been going through, I can kind of give you a person and their personality, and you can pretty much just spot where they are in the aspects of themselves. So that's really all it is just helping people identify with parts of themselves, which,
Yeah, it's like a self-understanding tool.
Yeah.
Going, oh, okay, I might be in this energy most of the day, and I might tap into that one, and is that me expressing it in a healthy way or in an unhealthy way?
Yeah.
And, yeah, basically understanding how we can, yeah, highlight these things within ourselves.
Yeah. Did we want to give the context or go into our journeys first? What do you feel?
I think context first. Let's, like, explain what masculine energy is, feminine energy is, and then the nuances within that.
Yeah.
So people, like, sort of even understand what we're talking about, because, you know, me 2 years ago, we're going, what the fuck's masculine and feminine energy?
Yeah.
What even is energy, you know? Yeah. So I think, yeah, just we'll get really clear on that, and then we'll just go into little bits and pieces from there.
Yeah, yeah. So in terms of the... If we keep it, we're going to sort of segment it down.
Well, let's start with what's masculine energy, what's feminine energy.
Yeah. So masculine energy is what you would call like system, structure, discipline, integrity, boundaries. It's very firm. It's what you would say is strong. It's the analytical, while feminine is more the flow, the creativity, the emotional, the feeling, the flow. And it's important to note, because a lot of people go, and we've been discussing this, male and masculine are not the same, and female and feminine are not the same. As human beings, we all have masculine and feminine energies. Just like if I said, go and do some art, Rue, go and paint something, you're in your feminine, you're in creative, you're in flow, you're in that intuition. Then if I said, go and set out a systems and structure for this program, then you're going to be more in the masculine. So we all have a matrix of masculine and feminine, meaning we can tap into either or. So that's kind of the two as the one side or the other. And that also then links in like physically with the brain. Our left brain is our analytical brain, and our right brain is our creative brain. So it kind of links in there as well. And so that's where we can go a bit into like the physiological part of it. There's actually been the studies and the research to go, we tap into different parts of our brain according to different aspects.
And so with being a male, do you want to be in your masculine more or your feminine? Well, yeah, I'm just going to ask the simple questions, because it is... Yeah, I think it's really, really good for people just to get an understanding of this around, like, male often gets associated with, okay, it's got to be masculine energy, female, okay, it's got to be feminine energy. Mm. If you're out of whack, it's not a healthy way of being.
Yeah.
What do you feel around, like, using the our sexes, our biological sex, and then the energetic side? How do people want to balance that?
So this is where it's, in terms of a general sense, and this is just through the people that I've gone and learned from and the reading that I've done, so it's only those that I've learned from and the projection of that. But what's been shown primarily is that males are more as a, and again, relative terms here, more as a, at their, like, their core of their humanness, they're more in their masculine. And let's say, for example, they're 80% masculine, 20% feminine is kind of like a rough gauge. 80% of men have masculine as their core and 20% have feminine as their core. And it's typically the same for females. 80% have femininity at their core and 20% masculine. And so that in between, in the middle, is kind of where you have more of like those neutral relationships where you see a more masculine female partner and the really feminine male partner. They're more rare. As we said, it's the 20%. And then there's a small portion that's like 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
And an easy way, and it uses more of a sexual question to bring it up, but it's a really easy way to ask, to find out if someone, because masculine is also the protector, the provider, the giver, and the feminine is more of the receiver, the nurturer. So you can ask, in an intimate situation, do you want to take or be taken? Do you want to give or receive? And so that can be really helpful for people to understand. They can just drop in and feel into it or picture themselves in that experience. And then, yeah, that can give a really clear answer. So there's a whole another aspect to that, really, which we spoke about recently, and that's, you know, what's happening with society. But I feel like we'll get into that once we've kind of broken down then the aspects within. So that's masculine and feminine. They're just energies. They're just expressions of our being. They're not a gender or a sex, and we all have expressions of both, and we can tap into either and either at any given moment according to what we want to. So in terms of the physiology of the brain, to help it land for a few of the analytical minds like myself out there that are listening, if you've ever had, you've ever been writing like a book or you're expressive journaling and you feel like you hit what they call writer's block, or you're, for example, creating these systems and structures for a business or an organization or for your routines, and then all of a sudden it's like, I don't know how to do this now. What's actually happened is it's been shown that every hour and a half, our brain switches in its prioritized blood flow from one hemisphere to the other. And that's our body's natural innate way of keeping balance between the masculine and the feminine, the analytical and the creative. So you can actually test that by which nostril more airflow is coming out of, because it's linked with the blood flow of the hemispheres of the brain. It's really, really interesting. But that's like the physiology, the nerdy stuff of it. That's really great. Fun to test.
Yeah, I love that.
So yeah, that's the masculine and feminine. Did you want to...
So you're saying they're equally balanced. So just wanted to question that. Why at a male's core is it naturally a little bit more balanced towards the masculine?
Yeah.
Is there an understanding around that? Or is there a scientific way of explaining that?
The answer that comes through that we were discussing, it may have been yesterday, was I feel as though there's a physical aspect where physiologically, men have a stronger, a more physical build. So in terms of tribal times, if we're going back in history, they were more prone to do the, what we would now label as masculine things, go and hunt, protect, go to war, battle for leadership. Whereas the females and the feminine, with the nurturing and pregnancy and with children, it's more about being the nurturing mother, looking after the baby they've carried, the baby. And then with the breastfeeding and that process, a lot more of it, the same thing with the menstrual cycle, is around more rest, nurture, and that, again, is in the feminine. Mm-hmm. So there's the physical aspect of it. But at the absolute core of it, so this is where you and I have been talking relative versus absolute. Relative, when we say this for everyone listening, relative is, put simply, like where we're at in this human experience. But then the absolute is just everything is energy. We know that in terms of quantum physics. And so there is really no masculine, no feminine. There's not a male and a female. We're all just energy. Mm-hmm. But when we're talking at this kind of like 3D level, then yeah, 100%, there seems to be a difference. I'd love to go back in time to when humans first started maybe to diverge or split, I should say. If maybe they were neutral and then there started to be more masculine and feminine, like, I'd love to go back in time and understand the why, but that's probably like, you know, theorizing the Big Bang Theory. Yeah. So there'd be so many ideas. Mm. I'm just going with what we experience now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, that was a great way of explaining it. I appreciate that. It makes sense. And within the masculine, the feminine, there's these slight nuances. And it's been really interesting hearing you explain this and then myself reflecting on where it's presenting in my life and the labels. Yes, we're putting labels on these things, but it's actually really good to put labels on sometimes to help you understand the ways in which we're showing up and ways that we can do it better and learn from them.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would love for you to explain a little bit into those.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Yeah, go from there.
And it's so perfect that you said it that way, because I know that, for example, someone you could say we look up to, that we hold in high regard of the staying at truth, is Darren Mancer. Mm. And he was saying this the other day, masculine or feminine, it's a waste of energy. Mm-hmm. And at the absolute level, it is. And then there's the part of me that goes, again, in service for helping people to understand, for self-awareness, to come to higher expressions of love so that they can hold others how they need to be held and then feel loved. To me, there's a part that's like information can help. Mm. And so been giving myself the permission to speak into it more. And yeah, so within the masculine and feminine, think of it, what easiest way to do it is like a box with four windows.
Well, so just so you know, we've got a reference that we'll put in the bio or the show notes.
Yeah.
That you can all get access to and have a look at these after. But yeah, Toddy will just explain and you can look into that later on.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. And that way they've got it. Yeah. So if we have for example, masculine and feminine on the, you know, if we're splitting them at the moment, just those two, masculine is on the left, like the brain, feminine's on the right. Then we have top and bottom. So now we've got four windows. So we've got light on top and dark on the bottom. And so you have your light masculine and your dark masculine. You have your light feminine and your dark feminine. And it's been really cool. And this is probably where we'll get into more of our personal experience and how this has been oh shit through our journeys, that both of us have had this like, ooh, dark. Because in this space, dark to me was perceived as dark is bad, dark is evil, dark, and all of the societal conditioning around dark, until I realized that when we put an archetype or a label to them, think of light masculine as the king, the dark masculine as the warrior, the light feminine as the queen, and the dark feminine as the seductress. That's how you can envision them in a simple form to kind of grasp in a really summated way what they are. And so,
yeah, that really helped when, because you were explaining this to me, the light and the dark. I'm like, but it's why the dark, it's got to be like, it's the energy around the word. Yeah. And it's dark has this negative, low vibration to it. Yeah. And that's all it is. It's like a collective energy towards the word that I was like, oh, that feels a bit weird.
Yeah.
And then as soon as you said warrior, and that was the same thing, I was like, well, fuck, why don't we just call it warrior? Oh, yeah. It makes so much more sense, and it's an empowering word. And so we've been talking about it as the warrior and the king and the queen and the seductress, which I've really enjoyed. But it's good just to have this perspective understanding of like what these labels are and what they're meaning and how they link together, I think,
for
a lot of people.
Yes, and this is the thing, because you'll typically, and we'll get into the other aspects of those soon, but you'll typically find you operate or be in one quadrant primarily. And what we'll do is we'll give you a couple of the like characteristics from each, and that way you'll just know because you'll hear the words and go, oof, that's me. And we've picked a couple that kind of have a line that would be most tangible, graspable for most people.
And so what's the aim with it all? Is it to be fully expressive of all of them? You know, because all of these different quadrants have a, which you'll probably explain in a moment, a shadow side. So is it a, we're aiming to become fully expressed in all of them, or do we have these natural tendencies to, you know, be in one more than the other?
In the absolute sense, so everything being energy, to me it's balance. It's it's one of everything.
Yep.
And that's the all. Yep. In the relative sense, in this human experience, I feel where people are at in their journey, most people have areas that they're more pulled to, but it's being able to comfortably embody all of them, and that's when you don't suppress. You're just expressive in all in that balanced way, and you might find that you're more in one area time-wise, so you might be in one more hours of the day, but if you can go into all of them with no blocks, no suppression, that's when you're in the divine balance of it, what they would call the healthy balance or the divine balance, whatever you want to call it, while the shadow or the unhealthy or the immature is the aspects where there's been suppression and as a result it's kind of lingering. And that's what we would if we use the label, that's the negative side. So that's where we'll go into now.
For example
we'll go the light masculine and the light feminine, and then we'll go the dark masculine and the dark feminine. So the light masculine being the king, some of the general like descriptive words that we have here, that's being proactive, being focused, inclusive, patient, confident, intelligent, authentic, humble, and honoring. So you think of the king energy, he's noble, he's caring of everyone, but he holds that stature in front of people where he's not aggressive and he's not going to fight for everyone. He's the man that holds kind of like the general pillar, the centered energy. And so he's also mentally and emotionally balanced, and he has an inner strength. Rather than an externally expressed, he's like that inner pillar of strength.
So like people a wise king.
Yeah, he's people can rely on him to make the good decision for all. And so he's really great at communicating as well. So then we have the light feminine being the queen energy. Now, she's, when you think of the queen, she's compassionate. She's loving unconditionally of everyone. She's creative and diverse in the feminine, but she's more empathic. She's more felt towards people. She's more of the nurturer. So you could think of that more of like the soft feminine. She's selfless, and you could say that she's very intuitive. She's also glowing. She's got that radiance, and that's where you see, you know, the 70-year-old woman that's in her light feminine, she's so embodied, and she can be next to a bunch of gorgeous 20 to 30-year-old women, and you're focused, like, as the masculine, your energy is polarized, attracted to, feels charged up by this glowing 70-year-old woman.
What about a glowing 70-year-old man in his light feminine?
Yes. That is where it's less frequent, but it is possible. And that's where we've been discussing so much our energetic quadrants. Yeah. And that's where I know with you, when you are doing your thing in your flow, you are in your light feminine, it is fucking incredible. And everyone around you feels it. But there's so many men, and I was one of them, and we'll talk into this in our journeys. I was like, no, like if I go into the feminine and I allow my brain to let go, because that's masculine, and I go into my heart, felt, that's feminine, I'm unsafe. I'm then vulnerable. And so that's also then where we'll get into this after with women. But many women aren't actually in their feminine because they're protecting from the pain. And so it's, I wouldn't say there's more of one than the other that are out of it, but there's just more people that are in the shadows than in the healthy, mature or divine aspects. Yeah. Yeah.
Is there any more you wanted to touch on in terms of that king and queen energy?
Really, it's just for the queen is that, as I said before, like she's in flow.
So you keep saying he for king and she for queen. Okay. I know that like it makes sense, but it's like we can all be in all of these. Yeah. And queen energy. Queen's got that kind of, it's a woman, isn't it? It's really tricky with these words and things, but just know that all of these different energies, no matter what sex you are or what you identify as, you can be in all the different energies.
Yeah. I'm going to commit to that for the remainder of the podcast, using feminine and not saying he or she. I'm going to see how that will flow.
Yeah.
But in the feminine, it is characterized. There we go. It is characterized, it being an energy rather than a gender or sex. Mm-hmm. There it is. It is characterized by flow and the ability to let go and surrender. So that's the receiving. So that's the king and the queen energy. So that's the light masculine and light feminine. And then we have the dark masculine and the dark feminine. And this is more of a, I can guarantee there'll be someone listening to this right now going, ooh, like dark. I think this is for the you know, the bad people, the evil people, the naughty, you know, whatever it is. I was there. I know we were discussing this. We've both been there. And so the dark masculine is the warrior energy, and it's characterized by being grounded in self, being strong physically, abundant in its energy, so much energy to give and to express. Create safety is a really big one. So the dark masculine creates safety for those in its proximity. It's passionate. It knows and upholds its boundaries. So it is integral. The other couple that are there that we've noted down and highlighted that are really clear, courageous, because that is, again, that warrior energy of going into war for the tribe. Strong, heroic, protective. But then what's really clear here is that there's a worshipping energy. And worshipping in general, but also worshipping of the feminine is a big aspect of the dark masculine. And that doesn't necessarily mean sexual, because you can worship without having intimacy. And that's a really important note here, that worship is the part that's aligned with that energy. Then we have the dark feminine, and that could be the seductress is the word we've been using generally, but then you can just think of, if this is where male and female come in, if you want to just think of the female version of warrior, and that would be a strong woman, a woman that knows her boundaries, that sets the tone, that asks for what she wants and states, in the female aspect, what she wants. But in the overall sense of the dark feminine, it's magnetic. It's self-assured. It knows itself and where it stands. It is wise. It is patient as well. And it is devotional. So with devotional, being devoted to an act or a process, a mission, but also being devoted potentially to a partner. And then there is the aspect of, it's different to the light feminine, but tenderness. So not necessarily nurturing, but there's a rawness, you could say. You know, when we talk about raw meat, tender meat, it's like that. There's a rawness to emotional expression. And this is where some people will say the wildness. The dark feminine is wild, and it fucking is, and it's beautiful when it is really expressed. The only other points here that I feel are really crucial to express is that the devotion to the masculine, and that being supporting the masculine energy in it being outwardly expressed in, say, the warrior, and also
What do you mean by that?
So the devotion to...
Oh, you mean devotion from the dark feminine?
To the dark masculine. Yeah. And then we have the dark feminine is instinctive. And that's where, again, it's the wildness. Like, it's like, this is what needs to be done now. And there can be that aspect. And the little the thing that's interesting here is to know that with the dark feminine and the dark masculine, it states that they're at a love-based level of consciousness. Now, I'm not sure if this is referenced to David Hawkins' scale of consciousness, which if you haven't heard, you can look that up. But what comes through intuitively and what I at least feel is that at this point of when it's fully embodied, you're just in love where you hold love with no blocks, no bounds, no guilt, no shame, no sticky points or incompletions. It's just like you are there and you hold however you need to hold for the highest place of love for that being. And I feel this is where the shadow aspect comes in, where there's blocks and that they're not actually in love. They might be in lust or desire or greed or want. And that's what we've just been through, is the four quadrants of the light and the dark, of the masculine and the feminine, in the healthy or the mature or the divine, as they might call them, forms. And that's what we're working toward cultivating in balance. We can go into any of the quadrants at any given moment when we feel it is going to be of the highest service of the person receiving or for ourselves. Example here, when we go into the gym to pick up weights, if we think of it as a archetype, if we're going to lift a heavy bar and deadlift or squat, we're probably going to go more into the warrior energy than the queen. But then if we were going into some kind of, let's say, for example, sensual flow, that could be the light or the dark feminine. It's just flow. Whether we give it the eroticism or the eros of the, let's say, that the dark and that seductress, that attractive energy, compared to just being in that glowing flow, that's different. And then in the same way, if we were to hold and support, if we're let's use the term for the moment, man, and we're holding a group of women, they typically feel most safe with the king energy, the light masculine first, as that, okay, it's like trust, because a lot of women have been hurt by the shadow aspect of the dark masculine. And so it's like you can start there and you build that trust. And then once they feel there, then it's like, then you can start to move into the dark masculine, the healthy form of it. And they go,
slowly.
Yeah, slowly. It's like a gradual journey. Yeah. And we've been talking about this so much, this whole, the amount of men that are suppressed from their dark masculine because of societal conditioning and what we've been told.
And not told.
Yeah. Yes. It's yeah.
Lack of information and understanding and vulnerability.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just doesn't get spoken about, any of it.
Yeah.
I feel like explaining the shadows of these four quadrants is really important as well to understand, oh fuck, maybe that's what's going on in my life.
Yeah.
And then also understanding those healthy ways of expressing it as well.
Yes.
I feel could be really, really beneficial for a lot of humans.
Yeah, let's do it. And as I do this and jump into this, I just want to pre-frame for our little egos. We all have shadow aspects in this journey. And so it's just listening in rather than going, oh, I'm all good. It's going, okay, it's really, I want you here to go, yeah, I'm going to have a shadow aspect of all of these. What is my shadow? Yeah.
Radical accountability.
Yeah.
Like, fuck, okay, maybe there's a tiny bit of that in there. I'm gonna see what that really is.
Yeah, yeah. So with the shadow aspects, I'll go in the same order that I did before. So the light masculine and light feminine. So the shadow aspect, and so again, if we're just thinking before, we had left and right, and then we had top and bottom, so we had four windows. Now just imagine each window has its own little shadow off the side, and that's where this bit hangs. And it hangs off as it is, in the shadows. It's like lurking. So people don't think it's there, and then it'll just jump out and strike.
A roll.
I love your example of it. A roll. Mine's like, rah. So the shadow aspect of the light masculine.
Or the king energy.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. The shadow of the king is lazy. It's unmotivated. It's projecting and projecting its stuff onto others. It's typically shut down and so doesn't want to take on responsibility. But when I say that, it will also want to take the credit when something happens. Mm. So it's like, wants to take the win, but if something goes wrong, no, it's everyone else's fault. So it's putting the blame. Typically disconnected from emotions, more emotionally unavailable. And then the final two that I've put here specifically was it's defensive, which again comes into like, no, it wasn't my fault, but then also avoidant. So avoidant of responsibility. Mm. If things get too much emotionally or avoids that, it'll like turn and walk. So just think of, perfect example, if we're thinking of the king here, that energy, the king that will turn when the kingdom is starting to fall, like, oh, it was everyone else's fault and not mine. Whereas the divine king will go, I take full responsibility and ownership for this. I will sort this out. And so that's that shadow aspect. Then the light feminine shadow similarly avoids responsibility. But this is where it's more, there's the feeling here. So the masculine is not attached to emotion. While feminine we know is more emotion, more felt, more heart. Actually, I didn't say that before. Masculine is brain, feminine is heart. Think first, feel. So the light feminine shadow is insecure. So there's the emotional insecurity. It is also attention seeking. Acts nice, but is not kind, and doing that to people please. It's needy. It lacks boundaries, which then comes in with people pleasing. So isn't great at saying no, which is where the dark feminine is brilliant at doing that. And then is anxious, and typically in the victim mentality. The shadow aspect, and this is just the final piece for this, for the light feminine, usually experiences unconscious sex rather than a conscious expression, which we'll chat about in a bit when these all parts all come together. So that's the shadow aspects of the light masculine and feminine. And then the shadow aspects of the dark masculine. Think of this rather than the noble warrior or the leader warrior. This is the savage that can't control himself as that archetype.
So and just as Toddy's going through these, just noting down like, oh, okay, maybe that's presenting itself in my life a little bit as he's talking through it. And then if you really want to, you can refer back to the sheet or back to the podcast of those healthy, divine, mature ways of these archetypes can be expressed in your life from understanding what the unhealthy habits or things that may be expressing at the moment are. Yeah. It's just a beautiful way to reveal it to ourselves.
Yeah, and to look into where we're, you know, we might be calling a partner into our lives or particular, you know, a woman might be calling in the same kind of man over and over. This man uses me. He does this to me. He does this to me. This happens. And you go, okay, so where are we not setting boundaries? Where are we blaming? Where are we calling in these things that might be actually a reflection of us? And that's really powerful too, because it's like when we look what's coming in, it's got to be coming in for a reason, like the PowerPoint plug. It's got to fit the hole. Mm-hmm. So the shadow of the dark masculine is mean or cruel, forceful, basically. Angry, violent, intimidating are those energies. Arrogance also comes through, so it's not humble, which is a very big difference. There's a lot of shame, and the dark masculine shadow, the shadow, uses sex to control, but also to release stress or to disconnect, which is so many men. Mm-hmm. They use it as a release, and they don't really connect with the person that they're with. It's just like, oh, we got it done, move on. That's the shadow aspect. They also, and this is one that I didn't highlight, but is very, very pertinent, and I feel like there's a lot of people that will hear this.
Mm.
The shadow aspect of the dark masculine typically dominates and suppresses the feminine, but that comes from an insecurity.
Mm.
So that's
like a controlling sort of energy in that.
Yeah. Mm. So they're also deceitful, judgmental, and you could say in that really at the integrity, that is weakness. And I don't want to say what is weak and strong, but it's in terms of structural integrity, that's weak. It will crumble easier. Mm-hmm. So the foundations aren't there. Then we have the dark feminine shadow. So the shadow aspect of the dark feminine is selfish. It's distorting, which means it will change things to manipulate them to seem how they should be. They'll gossip, and again, gossiping to get what they want and not what's best for everyone. As I've already said, in manipulation, passive aggressive. So I know I've had a shadow aspect of my dark feminine before where I was really passive aggressive. That was my way of getting things across, but being like, oh, I'm the nice guy, because that's a suppression of my dark masculine. So there's this is where it'll become clearer to people. They're controlling in the dark feminine shadow, and they use sex for power or love. They're provocative and they blame others. And again, this is where it comes in. They manipulate, seduce, and control the masculine. So knowing how the dark or the shadow aspect of the dark masculine will dominate or suppress the feminine, while the shadow aspect of the dark feminine will seduce and control. So the example I give here, this was beautiful, it came up recently with an amazing woman, was that she became aware that she used to be in a dark feminine shadow, because she'd go to the clubs and she would dance in an attractive way, but she'd do it to receive the look from the men and the attention from the men and all of the men flocking to her. And she got something out of that, but then she wouldn't actually, it was kind of like it was a teasing. And so if there wasn't an intention of love in that, that's shadow. That's a shadow form. And so that's actually really common. And the woman using, the other way I gave it as an example was like, you know how we make the joke of, you know, attractive woman gets a speeding ticket and she like, you know, pops a blouse, whatever you call it, shirt down a little bit, or she's flirtatious. That's shadow. Because she's using her physical body or her energy to get what she wants, which isn't fair. It's not an equal exchange. She's taking. So there's a giving and receiving is a clear line. Then there's where receiving is just purely receiving. Allowing is slightly different. So allowing is like, I'm receiving the thing, but I'm letting them. It's like a massage. If I'm just fully surrendered, oh, I'm receiving this. But if I'm a little bit uncomfortable or not completely trusting, I'm like, I'm allowing them to do this. Mm. And so in the same way, there can also be a taking. So I go to give, let's say I'm giving a massage, but a part of me is like, oh, this feels good to, you know, the shadow aspect, touch this woman in this way. I'm taking energy from her because I'm getting energy.
Mm. So, I think that's what a lot of women feel in this world. They feel that, that being looked at objectively, and it's like a taking of that energy from them.
Yeah.
And so that they don't even want to show it. They're like, fuck, I'm not going to show that beautiful energy I have within me. I'm going to lock off so I don't get looked at like that. And that's like pulled out of them almost because of these unhealthy, dark masculine projections coming out of so many men, and it's not even their fault because they haven't been fucking taught how to be a healthy man like and emotionally and these different ways of expressing and that's what we're here to do.
We're
here to figure it out ourselves and then teach it to as many humans as we can,
and that's
and we are still figuring out ourselves. And
this is why we're sharing it at the moment, is to bring awareness to it, because with awareness comes the ability to notice and observe and thus make a decision consciously. Oh, my partner or my friend or my parent or whatever it is does this in the shadow. I can raise this or I can move myself away from it. But we can't make that decision until we're aware, which is where I have a passion to share these aspects of society that aren't as commonly spoken about. Because it might be tabooed, but that's why there's such an issue.
Mm.
You know, we look at the bit of work that I've been so blessed to do with the masculine and the feminine, with some events. It astonished me that every single woman, I'm talking here gender, woman, felt unsafe with men.
Mm.
Not maybe one out of the 50 felt safe. Every single woman we've seen that we had that question felt unsafe with most men. And that rocked me because I thought, fuck.
Mm.
Like, we're here to create safety and they don't feel safe to begin with. We've got some work to do just to create a container that they can express in. And in vice versa, we need to bring the education to men so that they can call their brothers forward and go, bro, that's not right. Like, you're doing so much harm here right now, and what are you really receiving from it? And as we can have these open conversations and these dialogues where people, yeah, they might be challenged or they might feel a bit triggered because of the terms coming up, it is serving in the journey because it's going to enable more openness, and with more openness can come more love when it's in that mature and healthy way. So now that we've gone through the quadrant and mm-hmm. the shadows, so really what we've just done is we've just spoken about eight areas, which is a lot of info.
Yeah.
But what happens to explain how a shadow occurs, because I didn't get this to begin with, the way a shadow occurs in my projection and my experience and understanding is a suppression of another area. So rather than using what's on the sheet right now, pardon me, I can feel a burp coming, moving energy. Is when oops, wrong end. No, so when, if it was a fart, guys, it'd be a lot more loud than that. I'll let rip. They're solid.
He does let it rip. Get a run.
Fire.
All right, carry on.
Yes. Okay, back to the potty. So when someone is suppressed in an area, they will then act out in an uncontrolled shadow way. So what I mean here is if a man is suppressed in his dark masculine, the healthy dark masculine, because he doesn't know how to tap into it, or he's been told it's bad or it's not good or whatever it is, what will then happen is that energy kind of builds and builds and builds under the surface. Mm. And then one day they have that snap moment and it comes out in its shadow form. So the healthy version of the dark masculine, the healthy version of a warrior, is strong, protector.
Yeah.
He is able...
Heroic,
I'm using the he for the moment for this term because it's very common. They're able to bring that energy and harness that consciously. But then you have the shadow aspect of that because over time it's been suppressed, and one day they get triggered by the bully, and then this kid that seems so nice comes out and smashes his head in and won't stop, or he's uncontrolled in his rage or his violence or his aggression or his anger. You go, what the fuck was that? That's because it's been suppressed, because it hasn't been tapped into it in a healthy way. And then in the same aspect, if we then flip it and there's a woman in her light feminine, and because again, this is at least from my experience, it's been more common, and the darkness is more suppressed, which we get because mm-hmm. that's the society sort of how it is. She's in her she, we're using that for mm-hmm. the moment. She's in her dark, her light feminine, and her dark feminine energy, her boundaries, her courage in her, I'm not going to say her strength, but in her knowing herself and holding herself in that way, that hasn't been really brought forward. And then you could say her sexuality, that seductress energy, that's all been suppressed, and she's been taught to be the nice little girl, say what you're supposed to say, be seen and not heard.
This is a woman in her dark feminine suppressing it, or are you talking about both?
A woman in her light feminine that has suppressed her dark feminine.
Right, okay. Yep. So she's only showing her, expressing her light feminine,
yep.
and she hasn't been expressing her dark feminine.
Yeah, so she's been suppressing yep. her dark feminine. What will then happen is she'll get to a point where, again, builds, 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 and then she'll just, it's like it happens unconsciously, and that's where you have like the
shadow of the dark feminine express.
Boom.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's where you'll have the manipulation, the seduction of the masculine through sex for power or love. It's not a conscious union. And so it happens in both areas, but in different ways. And that's what I've seen so commonly, is there's so many men that go to present in their light masculine, and then you see something happen, and then when they react, it's in a shadow form of the dark masculine. And I was that. Mm-hmm. My experience, and this is where I guess the part of personal experience came in, was having my beautiful mum and my two older sisters. Mum and dad were still together, but dad was away a lot. I didn't really have a masculine figure, and I didn't have brothers, and I didn't have a big group of friends. I just saw my sisters. And so I was told, basically my being brought up, light masculine, the king, was my energy. So anger, frustration, aggressive, physicality, you know, strength was like, whoa, that's perceived by woman to be and again, projections from the woman to me, that's unsafe, that's dangerous, that's scary. So I've gone, don't ever bring that up. Mm-hmm. And so I'd have all of these experiences of frustration and anger and being bullied and being picked on and being challenged and whatever it is, humiliation, embarrassment. And then it'd just, one day I'd be like, boom, and I'd flip. I'd fucking flip tables at school. I'd throw chairs. I'd throw books. I'd fucking walk out of the room and I'd be like, you know, I'd be swearing my head off, going off tap. And I'd come back half an hour later and I'd be this embarrassed little boy because then I'd go back into the shadow aspect.
Like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah. So what would happen is I'd go from light, you know, the light masculine, into the shadow aspect of the dark. But then to come back up, I'd need to go via like my shadow aspect of my light to then get back into my light. So I would be, if we were to go down into here, I was projecting. And I wouldn't show my emotions and I'd be defensive and I'd avoid the topic and I'd try to kind of like shimmy my way back into where I was, not taking full responsibility.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have control of coming into my
darkness,
my warrior. Yeah. Right. Wow. That was me. And then, you know, in the same way, that was more behaviorally, but then sexually, I was the same. I'd been told and projected onto that I always had to please the woman. And so I never actually experienced myself receiving before pleasing a woman. And I also had this projection and thus a fear that if I was to be physical with a woman during intimacy, intimate union, sex, you know, however charged that word is for the people listening, it's just another word, a label of something that we physically experience, was if I was to go into any kind of physical, you know, like the bad boy energy, whatever that is, I'd feel guilt straight away. And I'd then go back into like my little light, my little boy. I'm like, oh, I'd stroke them and caress them and hold them and nurture them and speak to them softly because I was like, fuck, what'd I do? Like, oh, no. She's going to be scared of me. And it wasn't until I had a partner where I could express that insecurity. And she said, no, like, I want you to go there. I want to support you through that. To me, it was, you know, when you're told something, so your conscious mind's like, yep, and your unconscious like, don't believe it. Don't fucking believe it. That's a trick. And so it took us, a bit of time to really get to the point where I could trust that.
Yeah.
But then when I went into my dark masculine, she'd never been into her dark feminine. It gave her permission to go, oh, fuck, I like this.
Yeah.
And I want to receive this more. And I actually want to go into my expression of it in more day-to-day.
Mm. And I feel that so suppressed in men. That healthy dark masculine, and then that shadow comes through, and those desires, porn.
Yeah.
Like, is the big one, especially for men. Like, and growing up and being, you know, at a boys' school, rugby, like, everyone's watching porn, and that is obviously where that expresses and is like, yeah, it's that shadow aspect, and it's such an unhealthy relationship with that energy that's just we're taught out of it. It's like, no, you can't show any of these things, you know, that warrior energy, that expression of like that passion and anger. Oh, it's not really anger, it's like controlled aggression.
Yes, that's the word. Controlled aggression. Yeah, strength.
And it's been really interesting in my journey. Like, I feel like I let a lot of that out, like playing sport and rugby, and that was like my way to really tap into that energy. And since leaving rugby and starting this journey, it's been really, you know, I've sort of had to, or thought like, oh no, anger and shown aggression and, you know, that kind of stuff. No, that's can't be in this space. You got to be fucking zen and chill and loving all the time.
Yeah.
And so it's not till recently I've really started understanding this. No, I can bring that energy just in a different way.
Yeah.
Otherwise it will start expressing unhealthily.
Yeah.
Like it used to. Yeah. So it's like it's regaining that relationship with that dark masculine energy and how do I want to bring it into this world? Yeah. And we've talked about ways that I can do that, and just talking about it is a big part of it as well. Talking about sex and different things that I'd normally have shied away from.
Yeah.
It's an edge for me.
Yeah, I'd love for you to, because I had this a tangent. I was like, no, I'd love for you to share into that for a moment. We've spoken about it, like because there are so many people that look to you, and it's a part of like, you know, the vulnerability of you going, yeah, I did feel guilt around my dark masculine, or I did feel guilt of seeing woman, so I avoided it. I'd love for you to share into that for everyone to hear, I guess, your experience and journey with it.
Yeah. What in particular? What are you meaning? Like,
well, I know that, you know, because you're a handsome, jacked dude that was playing footy, so you had woman chasing you, and so that was a part of your upbringing when you were younger. And there's this, it's like when we can talk about who we were compared to who we are now. I know there's a lot of the time like, oh, I'm shameful of these things. It's like, you saw woman in the past. That's a reality.
Yeah.
And then as you came into this space from the understanding, it was like, no, I can't do that because I can't be perceived that way. So people hearing that about, oh shit, wow, that's so real.
Yeah. Through, like growing up, I was very like shy.
Yeah.
You know, and even through school and when I was younger, like those early encounters with girls, even like primary school, I'm thinking back to like, oh, you good girlfriend, I'd go bright fucking red in the face like a tomato, and the whole body, like you're basically in freeze mode.
Yeah.
The face goes red and then your whole body like starts shutting down, you know, when getting asked, oh, do you have a girlfriend? And, you know, these things were never really like understood. So my safety mechanism, instead of getting teased and going red and feeling like embarrassed, is don't bring women into your life.
Yeah.
Stay away from girls. They're bad.
Yeah.
And so that's what I did for age, like through my whole school. I'd never had a girlfriend or anything like that. And just didn't know how to talk to women at all. And then when I left school, started going to the gym, started
sexy woo
started learning how to interact with women. I remember like watching YouTube videos of like how to pick up women, how to talk to ladies, and going back to that, it was actually a lot of psychology and bringing forward a masculine energy, but under looking back, it was actually in a very toxic way, like a very dark shadow side of it.
Yes.
And like it worked, but it was very controlling, manipulative, or things like this to like gain trust quickly and then kind of like break that trust.
Well, get what you want.
Yeah, get what you want.
Yeah.
And
which is pretty much every male on the face of the planet has been through that.
Yeah.
But just most of them can't actually own up to it and face it because, oh, how will people think? But it's like the vulnerability is the realness.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just what was real for me. This is how my journey unfolded.
Yeah.
And then, so almost becoming like a slave to my sexual desires and urges.
Yeah.
And like I'd still never speak about it even with my mates, you know, I'd be going off on a date or something like that and I just wouldn't tell them anything because then they didn't have any ammo to shoot at me to get embarrassed about.
And there's that little boy that comes through again of like, I don't want that red face. Yeah. I don't want that freeze, so I'll just hide it away. Yeah.
Literally that. And then obviously starting this journey, like there's so much to talk about there. I don't know. I'll sort of brush over it and then we can go on to different areas. And anyway, starting more this conscious journey, it was like, oh, fuck, that is all got to go. Done. And it was really hard. I was like, but fuck, like, what am I going to do without sex? You know, thinking, oh, you got to be a monk, you got to be celibate. But I sort of unconsciously committed to that. Obviously, when Ryan got here, we were living in a van together for like 3 or 4 months and we were so mission focused. Yeah. It wasn't even really a thought. Like it didn't even have any time or space to think about it.
Yeah.
So it kind of just happened.
Yeah.
And then like went that whole year basically, and it was like it wasn't even a thing. It wasn't like it was consciously suppressed. It wasn't even in my awareness after a while.
Yeah.
Which was interesting.
So habitual.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
So it was funny. The amount of people that thought Ryan and I were gay.
Yeah.
Living in the, like, at the beginning. And we used to do the hongi before stillness as well, which is like the touch of the nose and the forehead in Māori tradition.
Yeah.
As like a greeting.
Yeah.
And so that was an interesting stage.
Yeah,
and like we didn't we didn't mind about any of it, but it was, yeah, I don't know where I'm going with this. But yeah, what I'm starting to realize now is like I did suppress it.
Yeah.
And like I thought I couldn't have women in my life or express any of this, you know, sexual energy. But what I'd realized when I did open that back up at the end of last year with a woman, there was still a lot of those unhealthy aspects and shadow aspects coming through.
Yes.
And then they called me out on it.
Yeah.
And so it was like, fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's the beautiful thing about conscious relating is you learn so much.
Yeah.
And yeah, so again, after those experiences, the beginning of this year, it was sort of like, no, I want to heal that relationship within myself, especially that sort of sexual shadow.
Yeah.
And just... yeah, abstain for it. Not like real consciously, I'm not going to, but it was like it felt right to not have sex or even engage with women. I just really wanted that space and then understand with myself.
That abstaining from all aspects, from sex, from masturbation, all of that, that is an aspect of the healthy warrior because that's boundaries, that's integrity. Mm. So this is where it's really cool for people to become aware. They go, abstaining, like... that's such a weak thing to do. It's actually one of the most challenging things, and it overcomes the shadow because our desire, our craving, is do the thing, have the release. And it's like, no, I'm going to work beyond that. And it's really beautiful that you said when you started coming into this space, it was like, oh, that's the words you were like, that's got to go from the sexual part of it. So knowing there that what happened was rather than having someone in your space or in this that could have integrated your dark masculine healthily, it was just like, okay, the shadow that was there just gets suppressed. And so we didn't actually get the healthy part. And that's where, you know, you then in your light in such a divine way. And then when the dark starts to come up, you now knowing what shadow is without having the words, it's like, that's not good. Like, I know what that was and that wasn't great. And so then what happens is people go shadow and they think shadow is dark. It's like, no, that's it's separate. Yeah. Yeah. And so when dark comes up, it's like you're having to actually learn the difference.
Yeah, very well articulated, Toddy. Yeah, because that's what confused me at the beginning as well. I was like, dark, that means the bad stuff.
Yeah.
No, the dark's like that dark masculine can be, there's the healthy side.
Yeah.
There's the shadow of that that can
come
through. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, this is what I wanted to raise as you were going through there, and it's so perfect, is what we're talking about with the graduation.
Mm.
Because many, as we said, I'm going to use the genders here for a bit. Many women, and I know that the woman hearing this will go, oh my gosh, yes. Many women, if they experience a dark masculine, they don't feel safe because they've experienced the shadow form of the dark masculine before. So their immediate response is close up, protect. And so that's where they go into their masculine to protect themselves because that is the protector. And so they go into that aspect so that they don't get hurt, so the same thing doesn't repeat. And that's where I said earlier on when we were talking, we create the frame with the light masculine and then we gradually can show them step by step, slowly, bit by bit into the dark masculine, that then they're into that, they're like, oh my God, I'm in the depths of the dark masculine here and I'm safe. And that's something that we spoke about this, I think, yesterday or the day before. I didn't realize because of the relationship with my sisters and my mum, how I was brought up, that I only ever wanted love and safety for woman. And before I realized what this was, when I was younger, this was happening. Woman would come to me to express being abused or being assaulted or having been raped or whatever it was. I didn't know what was going on and why at the time, but they felt that they were safe there. And going through, there was an ability to just hold the energy. And even if she was a physically attractive woman, there was no, you know, leaky, as we would call it, leaky energy is kind of when the shadow like peeps its way through, and that sexual energy. And that is so felt. A woman will know that. It's like when a man's there and she feels like he wants something, that taking, it's felt. And it's what you were saying before. So being able to be in the divine, let's say, or the healthy or the mature light masculine, and being able to slowly change your energy or your breathing, then changing the way you're sitting, then changing the words you use, is how you can slowly integrate across to, and this sounds crazy, but this is healing many women just by being able to do that, because they're then after a while realizing, oh, fuck, this is a different energy and I'm safe here. Nothing's changed. I can be with the dark masculine, not sexually be, just be held, be in that container and I'm safe. And that in itself, when they realize, they go, oh my God, wow. And then what that does, as we said before, they then feel like they can go a bit into their dark feminine, because the masculine, especially the dark masculine, doesn't want anything. They're just holding and protecting and supporting. And then that woman can actually allow herself to surrender more and to receive more love and to actually open up more into those parts of herself that she has suppressed. And then you're both healing. Because you're, then you're seeing the dark feminine in its beauty, not in its shadow. She's not manipulating or creating. She wants just to be held. Mm. And so then it becomes this, there's a word, but it's like both, adjoining, healing, and going through that process. Yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And it is. It can be so healing, like understanding these energies. And I've been learning a lot about it recently. Like just at our most recent immersion, a couple of our practitioners felt a little bit unsafe when I went into my dark masculine. And it's the reason that I've been trying to learn so much about it, to understand why they felt unsafe. And it was because it has been suppressed a little bit and I haven't been expressing it as much in my life. But also the speed that I went from the light masculine, that king energy, straight into the warrior. Instead of, like Toddy's just mentioned, doing it really slowly and converting into that different energy, I'd be coming from this sort of loving place and then boom.
Boom.
And that is very unstable for the nervous system. Yeah. And understanding like how to facilitate that in a very held and supported, slow way, but bringing them into that energy, because it was always coming from love.
Yeah.
But it's just the pull out, like the boom boom.
And this is the thing where it's incomplete relationship from the past, quote unquote trauma from the past, where they've experienced man in his light masculine. You know, let's say they're out at a bar or whatever, and he's acting nice. Nice versus kind. He's acting nice. He's acting noble and nice. He's getting her drinks and whatever it is. And then they get to the moment where they're in privacy. And then because why? The dark masculine has been suppressed. It comes out in the shadow form. And then it's this moment of from light masculine to do the thing, you know, and it's this energy just shifts and they know something's not up. And that's where, for many women, there's sexual abuse, or they're saying yes to intimacy, but in their head, they're thinking, no, this isn't right. So that's the, remember how I said there's receiving and then there's allowing? It's kind of like an allowing. And so when a man goes straight from light into dark, even though you're coming from love and the intention is not taking like these other men in the shadow, their nervous system goes, I've been here before, fuck that. This is what happened, close up, shut up shop, I'm scared, I can't open to this. And that's where there's this beauty of this, the integration of being able to move and flow between them.
And understanding every human's different. Because like that approach worked for some of the facilitators, and then others that was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Close down.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what they also asked for more from myself, and this is how we work at Cool to Be Conscious, like it's family.
Yeah.
And it's really reminded me of that. They wanted to see more vulnerability from me.
Yeah.
So that they could be more vulnerable with me.
Yeah.
And it's really very clear that I was trying to be this like pillar and stability the whole time, and it's somewhat closed, and that's not that healthy aspect. And instead of like seeing myself as separate, like seeing myself as one with them, as part of the family. And so I've taken so much learnings from that, and just from conversations with you, brother, it's highlighted a lot, and being fucking vulnerable to receive the feedback from everyone. And it's huge. And it feels really good just speaking about this.
Yeah. And this is it. We're on the journey. And as we've been sharing the last couple of days, the reason that we're doing this is because personally, and I said this to you, is I've been the rough way around. I've done most things the wrong way. And this was one of those things where I had massive trust issues in relationships for many years. And that was realizing that was my projection of my shadow masculine when I was, or my shadow dark masculine when I was younger, which was, I wouldn't trust me. So why would I trust others? Mm. And then also the stories of me always being second. And so it's been this having to do the work and having going through the things. And it's like once you've been through it, you can see it. And that's, it's, you know, this is a thing for everyone is we all are on this journey of learning and continuing to, like, as I keep using the word, like pendulate. Because what happens a lot of the time is once you've been in your light, masculine for ages, and then you get awareness of your dark, these men go, "Roar!" They go straight across into full darkness and they go, "Oh, fuck, that was too much." And they kind of like pendulate back to when they're in the center. And the thing is, it's, and this is awareness for everyone that's listening to this and will go and implement these things. The same thing for the woman. If you've been in your light feminine and now you're like, yeah, I know that there's the part of me that wants to be sexy, that wants to be activated, that wants to be ravished, that wants to be taken. And that, again, that might be the male, but in this this situation, in what we're talking about, that the dark feminine, that wants to be expressed and owned, that to know that the movement from one to the other is like the swing, and it takes conscious awareness and practice to, I'm not going to say own it, nail it, be centered in it, and integrated would be the word actually. Because you'll come across into one and you go really extreme in it and then you go, "Oh, that was too much," and you find that center. So there's like steps to be able to integrate it. And we've sort of spoken a bit about that. And I know that's something I might share before we pop off. It's just a couple simple steps.
Yeah. Embodiment actions.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah. So actually I'll grab that for a moment. I've got a little sheet here that was the so depending on the energy, if we use, I'm just going to say, for the moment, dark, because as we said, most people are suppressing their dark because they think it's a particular way. So whether it's your masculine or your feminine, what I recommend you lean into is these are steps. And the way I explain it is checklist. You've got to have checked off one and two to go to three, because otherwise you swing too far on the pendulum. This is your way of kind of controlling it in the safe, mature, healthy way. So you might express it physically, so your darkness. So that might be, you know, the masculine might be going into the warrior energy. For the feminine, it might be going into more the sensual dance and feeling the body. So that's one. Then number two.
What warrior energy there? You're like sort of beating your chest.
I was beating my chest. Yeah, like hukka, ooh, sort of, yeah, exactly, hukka energy. Yep. That controlled strength.
Yep.
And so That may also be, if you haven't been to the gym for a while, going and lifting heavy with intention at the gym or going to a dance studio. Or it might also be some feeling like your body in the feminine. And then the second step would be feel into, when you're going through that process, feel what that's like in the body, the sensations. Where do I feel open right now? What feels activated? What feels alive in me? Where is this energy? And then once you're aware of where that energy is and the thoughts and what's in the body, being able to kind of like, it's like screenshot. Okay, that's what I feel. Mm. And then once you've done that, then when you're in your day-to-day, going in and being that. So you might notice that as an example, in the dark masculine, deep breaths. You think of warriors going into war or they're about to go into the hukka. What happens? They start to breathe deeper, chest open, shoulders back. They're tall. So you might be walking down the street. Okay, I want to consciously tap into my dark masculine here. What do? Shoulders back, chest open, chin tall, deep breaths into the belly. But being mindful of it as you do, because then what's happening is it's like you're graduating into it. So you do that in your normal state. So it might be like breathing, you're walking, might be doing it while you're at work. You're at the computer and then you just, okay, pop your shoulders back. And then that, for example, in the other way, you might be at the computer going to go into the feminine and you might just start to move the body, roll the shoulders, move the hips and allow that to feel good, because that's a part of the attractive part of it. Because there's the light feminine, which is just the flow. The dark feminine has like a, ooh,
it's like a pleasuring
to it.
Experience.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So I like that, the pleasuring experience. So if you want to have pleasure while working at the laptop, go for it. And same thing, you might do it while training. Then the third step, once those two are complete, is to share vulnerably about your journey with someone that you trust, typically in the opposite energy. So if you're wanting to cultivate the dark feminine, then go to someone in the masculine and speak about, hey, I've been through these challenges. I've been through these experiences. I've had these blocks, this guilt or this shame. These are my stories. And then by doing so, what you're doing is letting go of the energetic or emotional charge out of the body. And then it's like, huh, there it is. Okay, I can look at it in the face now rather than hiding it away. And then you get to reclaim it. And you go, now I can own this. And the more people you speak about to it, the more healing it is. So that's number three. It's having the conversation with someone you trust. Just a conversation. And there's no asking of questions, so to speak. It's just having a safe container to express your things to let go of the charge. And then number four is to embody that energy now in the normal state. So more frequently, rather than just one off here and there in a little container, like how often can I bring this forward and harness it and then let it go? Bring it on, let it go. Once that's complete, then the fifth step would be...
You could literally have like a timer on your phone, like alarm. Warrior energy, king energy, whatever energy you want to tap into.
That's
so good. And then whenever it goes off, you'll see it, all right? And then it's literally feeling in your body, what would it be like to be in that warrior energy right now? What would it like to be in that king energy right now? What would it be like to be in that seductress? What it would be like to be in the queen energy.
Yeah, just doing that there, I can feel it. And so there's no block there. Yeah. So that means we can healthfully tap in. That's epic. There you go. So it's like 10, 12, 2 and 4. Set a 2-minute timer and go into each and have your, you know, king, warrior, queen, seductress. Boom. There it is.
Boom.
I like it. Very nice. So then the fifth step, once that is to communicate with the opposite energy.
Yeah.
As the unconditionally loving brother or sister. And what I mean by this is, and it's moving from the on the continuum. So letting them know again that there's a container that, hey, I'm doing this to learn, but saying that I'm going to start in my light and I'm going to move across into my dark and see how you feel and get a bit of feedback. Again, trust container practice. There's nothing that's leaked. It's just unconditional love, brother, sister energy. So you start in your light masculine or light feminine, and as you're conversing through, you allow yourself to slowly move more and more across into the dark, however that is for you. More direct. It might have a bit more intimacy or eroticism to it. It might have more about speaking of boundaries or sternness or strength or protection or warrior, or more like, this is my passion. And then feel that in your body and then allow that to reside and feedback. And so again, it's just unconditional love. There's nothing else. That's really important. Really important. Then the step after that, this is three steps of communication. And I make this, and I'm going to say this really fucking clear. And that's my masculine, because it's important. So the first step is the unconditional love, where there is no energy of attraction or sexuality or intimacy, romanticism, anything like that at all present. None. Zero. You both hold a neutral container. The next step is when you can communicate in that, going into your dark feminine or masculine, and you allow yourself, if they want to you receive their attraction energy. So let's say Rue and I are having a conversation and I'm the one doing my practice. I allow you to go, hey, if you feel some attraction to me as I'm speaking, you're allowed to express that. You can say that. You can speak into that. Hey, this is really beautiful what you're expressing. It doesn't have to be like, oh my God, you're turning me on. It's like, this is beautiful. I feel so pulled to you. Because again, energy is not, and masculine and feminine, it's polarity. It's not necessarily sexual. That's why we can feel an attraction to a 70-year-old in her light feminine, or his in his light feminine, because it activates the polarity, the charge of the battery, the positive and the negative. It's not sexual. So making that really clear is that they're actually just able to express their attraction or magnetism to you, or to what your energy is coming forward. But you just going, thank you, I receive that. Because what happens then is you're then being able to control that you're receiving but not acting upon it. Because if you act upon it, that's shadow, because you're not controlled. The control is where it becomes healthy. So receive, 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 and do nothing about it. Thank you, I appreciate that. I'm going to sit with that. Boom. That's then the next step is where you can communicate on these topics, but allow yourself to give that attractive energy. So it's almost like, you know, the seductress, you want that person to feel you. You want that person to be attracted to that energy. Like, oh my God, they are captivated. they are magnetized to you. And it could be two brothers. Mm. It could be you and I sitting here and you're in the light and I'm in the dark. And you're like, your passion right now, oh my gosh, that is incredible.
It is. It's like that sometimes. You know, you watch a man do a huck or something like Eugene did at the end of the immersion.
We're all crying.
And we were just like, fuck, there's something about it. It's like, whoa, that's fucking incredible.
And that's the appreciation. Yeah. So allowing yourself then to give and receive.
Yeah.
And again, not then acting on it, but giving and receiving that in that exchange.
Mm.
And then finally, the final step, so the eighth step, is to experience that energy in an intimate way, if you wish to. If you don't want to, you don't need to. But the reason I say it's there is because you again set the intention and the container with that person. Let's say it's for me with a partner, and the conversations we did have was, I want to express my dark masculine. It is coming through so strongly. My warrior is there. I want it to be able to hold you and to ravish you and to take you. Communication first. Then if there is a, I would appreciate that, or I'm here to support you through that, or let's do this, then you can. And the reason that that's important is because they need to know. Because again, if I've always been in my light and then all of a sudden I go into this sexual experience of the dark masculine and the warrior, it can bring up triggers for them. So it's again that the safety of the container is held through the communication and the intention, the integrity. And that's the final part, because again, conversation versus when someone's, say, clothes are coming off, the level of attraction and spark is very different. Like when you see the woman that you love and you're like, oh my God, like fucking get out of my way. Like it's different.
That's the real test, isn't it?
Yes.
Of the control.
How you can control it.
Yeah.
And so that's where that's the final step, is you being able to control. And once you can get to that point, you're on that path of really being embodied in the healthy aspect of it.
Oh, yes. Fucking beautiful. Thank you for sharing all of it, Toddy.
That was like the dark and the light masculine. Fucking beautiful.
Yeah, I'm integrating it. I'm practicing it. But nice. Don't leave me hanging. So it's funny, like you're, it's interesting because I'd suppress that dark masculine. Your Borat jokes, when you started doing them at the beginning on the calls and shit, they used to trigger me.
Oh, gotcha.
I'm like, that's, we can't have sex jokes and fucking Borat. But now I'm like, it's where it's coming from. It's the intent. And it's like to heighten the mood and the vibe, like it's so interesting. Like I fucking love them now.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting to observe all the little things, you know, that bring things up in our life. Yeah. But with the with those eight steps, we'll get that printed up and put in the show notes as well.
Yeah,
for everybody listening.
Yeah.
Last question, Toddy.
Do I like to party?
What is your message if everyone on planet Earth got to hear one thing from you today? What would it be? He's just thinking. He does this. It's beautiful when he gets asked a question instead of just words. He stops. He pauses. He lets it come through.
Bring a smile to everyone's face, including your own.
I love that. There's like, just as I look at you and you start smiling, there's these beautiful sunflowers popping up over your head. There we go.
And what about you?
For me, it would be trust yourself because you already know.
That is your stamp line.
That's my go-to. Lots of love, everyone. We will be back soon with more. I love you. I see you. Mwah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Toddy. That was special.
Love you all.